Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast. AJ, Rudo, Megan, we're talking Western Conference. We're talking the Avs competition in the West specifically. AJ, you were starting us off with the Dallas and Vegas conversation and if any of these teams have any changes.
Yeah, just coming. I was asking you guys if you thought that they were like Vegas is going to have to hemorrhage some talent because of salary cap stuff. But yep. I don't feel like Dallas is in for any major changes. I see a lot of Stars fans just after how the series has started wanting to buy out Ryan Suter.
That's a rough. Yeah.
Yeah. How interesting would it be if Ryan Suter ended up being paid to play
multiple buyouts
by three teams next year? He got paid by Minnesota and Dallas to go away, and then you know that somebody would pay him.
Would the Avs do it for as like a sixth?
I mean, Ryan Suter and Josh Manson is your third pairing.
I'm saying. Wouldn't it hate
probably,
it.
It probably sounds better on paper because of who those guys have been in their careers.
Compared to who they are now.
Exactly. Yeah. Where you're like, Ryan Suter and Josh Manson, that would be fun. But I don't know, maybe, I was just saying, it's a thing that I've seen a lot of, but when I look at their cap sheet, it does not feel like they are in for a major change.
I want to get to Vegas in a second, so let's stick with Dallas here. Is, you know, regardless of how playoffs go, Megan, is Dallas the Avs' main competition, at least in the Central, going forward?
I mean, Minnesota was in there at times, Winnipeg in there at times. I don't know. I think it still remains Dallas for now, but
yeah, I would agree. I think it's Dallas for next year.
And then after that, we'll see.
After that, you know, it's really hard to project because as we're going to talk about, some of these teams could be facing some serious changes in the next few years.
Wow.
You
know,
you look at between St. Louis, Nashville, Minnesota, and Winnipeg. I'm like, those are all teams that are all facing serious question marks over the next few years of what direction are you going to pick?
Yeah.
You know, St. Louis and Nashville have 5 first round picks between them this year. So, like, there's some, you know.
If they do,
and then you have two bottom feeders who would like to compete at some point in Arizona and Chicago, where you're like,
certainly Chicago would like to do it a whole lot faster now.
Yeah, and Arizona's is going to be a little tougher a sell just with their situation.
They've
right now.
They've got other problems.
I think a lack of clarity on the arena stuff makes it really tough for them. So I would say I would agree with Megan. I think it's Dallas for right now, but they have to they're going to have to do work to keep up because Colorado's just natural advantage is they have Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen and Cale Makar all signed.
And I do agree. I think it's Dallas right now, but you're still kind of looking at Dallas's roster and you're going, well, sure, they have these guys signed, but the cliff will eventually come for Joe Pavelski.
Well, and you wonder how sustainable is what Jamie Benn gave them this year. You know, at 33, are we seeing a revival, or is this just a one-shot wonder? Is it, you know, and then, like, you do see some of the younger guys, you know, the Ty DeLandres and Wyatt Johnston.
Yep.
You expect them to take steps forward, but are they going to take substantial steps forward to replace steps back from the elderly guys here? So we'll see, but they should be good.
I think you're right. I don't think dramatic changes are incoming, and I do think there's enough youth to look forward to in Dallas and Robertson and the DeLandria, Wyatt Johnson types, and even Miro Heiskanen on that side of things, that they're going to stay pretty competitive. There are just some question marks surrounding some of the aging players in Sagan, Ben, and what Pavelski has left in the tank. Because even looking at this season, that was a question of how much does Joe Pavelski have left in him. And there's definitely still something there, but I think that's why it's easy to point to Dallas as remaining competitive for a little bit. Vegas in a similar conversation, but they are not able to make huge roster changes, so they're not really able to improve dramatically, but they do have a lot of good things in place currently as well. There's just been a really weird thing that's happened with their goaltending that you hope resolves itself, because they're pretty handcuffed to that for right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if those guys get healthy, like, they've paid guys, you know, like Robin Leonard, like, he,
yep, that's just,
if he gets healthy, like,
money
he,
that's sitting, yeah, dead, like, for them right now. Yeah,
like, right now they're getting to spend that money because these guys are hurt, but they've given money to Robin Leonard and I guess technically Logan Thompson. It was barely any,
a lot more to Leonard than Thompson, yeah, there. Yeah.
So it doesn't, that's not going to hurt them in any way. I think that'll be a value deal for them, because I think Logan Thompson's awesome.
Yeah, I,
as much as Jesse's a hater, I think that kid's really good.
It's funny too, he'll, like, look at his career trajectory, and each year he spent very little time at every league and excelled in each place. It wasn't like he was some bottom feeder in the East Coast League for years and finally broke through.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
he's really good.
I don't mean to sidetrack. Jesse. Mean,
it's an important conversation, because I'm not 100% sure where Vegas's goalie situation ends up. You know,
yeah,
when Leonard gets healthy, what
Aiden
are they
Hill's
look
pricing
to do?
Himself out of there.
And like, right, he's on his way out. Leonard hasn't been healthy for 18 months. When he gets healthy, who is he? Does Vegas even want to keep him?
Does he ever get healthy?
Right.
I mean, is that just LTIR money forever?
Right, it could be. Compared to Dallas, where despite some sketchiness in these playoffs, Jake Ottinger's the guy there. There's no totally. Doubt about that.
Right.
And at $4 million, it's a reasonable amount to expect for, you know, that's a reasonable price for him to be like, hey, you don't have to work very hard to be worth it.
Yep. If you give us a 918, you're... Yeah. Easily making your money.
You're pretty happy there.
So, goalie situation's kind of their own specific thing when it comes to hockey teams at times.
So, the top of the West feels like it's going to be pretty relatively stable.
Colorado, Dallas, and then Vegas coming from the Pacific.
Yeah. Well, and then you look at, like, an LA where, you know,
if they could stop running into Edmonton in the first round.
Well, like, you feel like they're going to be a playoff team no matter what they do. They're going to be right there in that mix. They're just too good to take, like, a major step back, I think. But, you know, I know this is the point of today's show, but when we talk about the Flames, you talk about the Oilers, like, those are two teams that have to make really hard financial decisions this summer.
The thing with LA is that I don't know that they have to make huge decisions, but they can only sit around and wait for so long for a guy like Byfield to figure it out. And I know Byfield had an okay year.
Right, but I mean, they used the second overall pick on this guy.
Yeah.
Like, they're asking Quentin Byfield to be more than a left wing in their top six. Like, they want that guy to break out and be a star for them.
Yep.
Because the difference between those is what we saw from LA this year. And if he were to break out, especially as a center,
it would be
having a
pretty big boon to them.
Well, having Byfield, Kopitar, and Deneau down the middle gives you hilariously enviable center depth.
Yeah. And starts to have a built-in replacement for Kopitar as he ages out of his career.
You can put him into a little more of an appropriate situation where you could protect him. You know, you could you're not asking him to be the star that he has been his
for
whole
sure.
Kings tenure.
Another team that I do wonder about in goal.
LA?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Huge question marks. Copley, is Corpusalo, do they re-sign him?
Is Cal Peterson just done?
I mean, well, he just kind of disappeared. Like, obviously had a bad year.
Just
sitting
in the AHL right now? Like, it's a problem. They've got to figure that out. And, you know, I sent out a tweet the other day that had floated the idea that the Kings were talking about moving on from Arvidsson so they could try and find the money to potentially keep either Gavrikov or Korpisalo, which I think both, they can't keep both, but keeping one of them would help.
I don't know how you feel confident about keeping Corpy after that playoff series, man.
Yeah. It just finished so poorly.
Yep.
It did. And it was tough because, like, a opposite of Edmonton, I was like, I don't think this is so bad, but it's just because Edmonton didn't really have reliable goaltending either that I think it was a tough showing for Korpisalo.
It was a little bit of watching them trade bad goals back and forth.
No, exactly.
For sure.
I was like, well, that was a good save from Korpisalo, and then he'd give up something. I was like, well, it's Edmonton. Maybe that's fine.
Until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't.
It is interesting to see where...
And I think the goaltending position is maybe the most fascinating part of the entire Western Conference.
I agree.
Because when we look at the Central Division, you look at the Minnesota Wild.
Yep.
Philip Gustafson just gave them an awesome season for $750,000. There is a 0% chance that he signs for that cheaply again.
And there's a really low chance that he repeats the year he just had.
So...
You're gonna need
to find some kind of middle ground, you know, on a deal there. But they don't have the wiggle room to just be like, well, you gotta give that guy $3 million. Like, they need to make hard decisions.
Yep.
They're losing Matt Dumba just right off that defense.
He's gone.
Like,
yeah.
Exactly. Boom, yeah, because they have big decisions to make defensively too.
Yeah.
That it's hard in both position. You don't really want to make any shortcuts.
And like all of the forward depth that they traded for at the deadline, except for Mojo, is a free agent. And so, like, the things that propelled them forward and made them actually
all
look a little scarier going
into
the postseason.
Yeah.
They can't repeat. So it's they're in such a tough spot too, where you look at I think it should start with goaltending this year. Because so many of the playoff contending teams out west have major goaltending problems.
About everyone except for Dallas.
It's the weird Dallas and Colorado are two teams that are just like, we're not even going to talk about this position.
Yep.
Winnipeg's in a tough spot in that they want to keep their goaltender, but can they?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You have Nashville. Is UC Saros arguably the best Nashville Predator right now? He's in his prime. He's on a cheap contract. He's coming off an exceptionally good season. He's strung together several in a row now that are very good. I finally get to be right about UC Saros. Suck it, Rudo. And there should be a real conversation with a prospect the caliber of Yaroslav Astarov.
That's Nashville's problem, yeah.
Is it maybe, should they be trying to pluck a Quentin Byfield out of L.A. for UC Saros? Like, should they be trying to...
I don't know if Byfield's the one I would target, but I get what you're saying.
LA would really benefit from this.
I'm using this as an example. Should they be calling Seattle and saying, give us Shane Wright?
Boy, that'd be fun.
To try and get the next generation kickstarted a little bit and say, hey, we'll take Grubauer back.
Just to take the money.
Yeah, so we even some money out here. And so while we can stay competitive.
And he can be a serviceable fill-in until Askarov's ready.
But Askarov will eventually, the money will even out because his ELC, he'll be cheap. And then he'll eventually ascend to that job and Grubauer will be an expensive backup at the end of his deal. Like, is that something they should be entertaining? And probably you take the UC Soros conversation and you copy and paste it in Winnipeg with Connor Hellebuck. And you say these are two teams whose best players are arguably their goaltenders. And for different reasons, I think should strongly be entertaining moving them. Maybe not yet for Nashville, because they may want to. They might want to see a little more of Askarov in the NHL specifically.
Yeah, it's tough because
so it might be a year early for them. But I think they should be looking at that market. And they should be keeping a very close eye on what happens with Connor Hellebuck, because if Hellebuck gets dealt, that sets the market for UC Soros of here's a framework for us to immediately work off of.
Nashville's also in a weird place, but I do want to talk about them more in a little bit. First, if you're a goalie and you've been run into and it's not your fault, maybe you should call Bacchus and Shanker. Dial 222-2222 today to get a hold of Bacchus and Shaker, or go to coloradolaw.net. If you've been injured in a car accident, even if it was a rideshare situation where you weren't driving or you were biking on the side of the road, or if you were at work and an accident happened that's not your fault, they will give you a free consultation. You can pitch your case to them. If they think you have a case, they'll take it on for completely free. It costs you nothing until you win your case with Bacchus and Shaker. And even then, you know, they just take it from the winnings. So nothing comes out of your pocket when it comes to these guys. They just want to get you what you deserve, and they're really, really good at it because they've been doing it for over 25 years, and they've won over $1 billion for their clients over the years. So they know their way around the courtroom. We'll put it that way. They know how to get you what you've earned. Go check them out again at coloradolaw.net or press 2 for a while.
Saw they had a advertisement on the back of a truck yesterday that I was sitting behind as I drove home and was like, these dudes are legit, man.
It's one of those.
It's one thing to advertise on podcasts and stuff, but you just got your own trucks rolling around town.
It's one of those things where, this is how I know Denver's becoming a big city, is because you would go to Vegas or you'd go to LA or whatever, and you'd see trucks just driving around as advertisements.
Oh, yeah.
That never used to be a thing in Denver, but now,
yeah,
it's happening.
Was it like a truck with a rap advertisement or like almost like a billboard moving?
It was a rap.
Rap. Okay. Still very cool.
Not full Vegas.
I'm thinking Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's a literal billboard.
Yes, yes.
Just on a truck bed.
Both are cool. Just wanted to clarify. There's also like a custom light we have upstairs for Bacchus and Shanker. And I don't know what they're called. The neon lights that you see like in Nashville. We have one for Bacchus and Shanker.
Sick. Boy, we got to get one of those on the set.
Yeah, it's upstairs in the studio that's being remodeled, so we need to bring it down.
There you go. Bacchus and Shanker looking good in the neon.
Anyway, that's how you know they're legit.
Yeah, for real.
If $1 billion wasn't enough.
Also brought to you by Illegal Pete's. You know, when you get that cash, you can go get yourself a delicious burrito, fresh ingredients, 10 different locations here in Colorado. Queso to die for. Marg's at happy hour from 3 to 6 p.m. that everybody loves. It's the place to go. There's one just a couple blocks down from the DNVR bar where you can get your own delicious burrito. That's a mm-hmm. That mm-hmm means AJ's going there as soon as this pod is over.
Yeah, I might, man.
It is lunchtime.
It's one of those things that I consider when I leave here.
Yeah. Roll on by.
Yeah.
Grab some lunch.
We'll walk down and get it and then walk back to parking on Colfax. So.
Go check them out. Illegal Pete's. There's also a location in Arizona if you happen to be from the desert down there. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. I did want to dig in. I mean, we're talking about Nashville anyway, so let's just talk about them.
Sure.
Because you're talking about this move and goal with Soros and Askarov. Nashville's problem is they are locked into a lot of guys.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg are signed long-term. You have, I think, 3 more years of Matt Duchene and 2 more years of Ryan Johansson.
Yeah. 3 or 4 more years of McDonough, too, I think, on the defensive end.
I think it's 3 more years of McDonough. Like, you're signed.
Yep.
You're committed. At high dollar values, you're committed to a lot of these
contracts
guys
that are hard to move.
Yeah, and you're having a real conversation of, for what? To what end here?
Yeah.
This is where I see the value in what you're proposing and using Soros as a possible asset for a young promising return is I think they need a refresh in that aspect. I think we saw in St. Louis when the core begins to age, if you don't have a young core coming up behind them, you run into problems.
You have nothing.
Yeah. Your 20-goal scorers, you know, they need people coming up behind them because it's just those are the types of career years that are not always repeatable, and you just need young mm-hmm. players coming up in the ranks. And I think that's where Nashville is struggling a little bit and where they could use somewhat of a refresh.
Yeah, I definitely, like, they have some interesting young forwards on the way because they've devoted a lot of their draft assets to that position.
But for a team that 5 years ago was the best defense in the league, arguably.
Right. I mean, for a team that years ago, like, comfortably just gave PK Subban to New Jersey.
Yep.
For free, for it was like a second round pick and some stuff.
Yep.
Like, just gave them away because their defense was that good, and they were like, we can survive this, no problem. And I know PK had obviously slipped at that point. Like, his game had, he was no longer that guy anymore. But to just give a guy like that away, that was the quality of their defense. And now you're looking at it, and Roman Josi and Ryan McDonagh.
Yeah. It's kind of it. And Fabro, depending on, like, how Fabro's how you there. Feel
I
about
really
him.
Like Alexander Carrier. I will fight you on this.
I'm fine with it. I just never think he's going to get there to where I'm happy.
Well, the thing is that he's not going to be a top pairing guy. I can like him as much as I want, or as much as I like in the middle of a defense. Fair. But how much of an impact guy is he? Or is he just one of the many, many, many third pairing guys where I'm like, I like what he can do in a limited role, you know? Like, it's different when you're talking about, does this guy move the needle on a lineup here? How good actually is he? And then the guys beyond that are just, there's not a lot there.
Yep.
And that's where you have the conversation of, you know, if you wanted to find, like, there's no reason for them to mess with Ryan McDonagh. They should try and find a buyer for him in the next 2 years.
As that soon money as might possible, be tough this year, yeah.
But next year, when the cap goes up the way that we expect it to, it will go up enough that McDonagh's salary should be a little easier to fold in and not have quite as much term on it if the play slips a lot. They should really be finding something for him. But if they do move, a Saros, or, you know, if they do want to move on from a Ryan Johansson, 2 years left at $8 million. For a guy that does not consistently score 20 goals, it's going to be a hard sell. But
yeah,
with 2 years, if you're talking about the willingness to retain a little bit of that, you know, even if it's $2 million, like, they're not competing for Stanley Cup. And with Barry Trotz taking over as GM, we don't really know how aggressive he's going to be in trying to make it work with this aged out core that maxed out, to be honest with you, last year. When they got smoked by the Avs in the first round.
Yeah, that's the problem, is I don't see the talent on how they can push to be a true cup contender.
Right, like, they could do, you could easily view them as a team that replaces Winnipeg as the last wild card team next season.
Sure, but where does that get them?
Exactly. Yeah. Why would you continue to push and push and spend money for that?
It's tough,
and I think
not
Josi
a
and
spot
Forsberg,
I'm envious of. Yeah,
Josi and Forsberg are homegrown, been there their whole careers. Those are their guys. They're going to retire there. They're going to get their jerseys retired. They're going to go into the rafters.
I think Josi will. Forsberg could try and chase a cup.
With that contract, it's done, man.
I hear you.
Maybe at the end of that contract, yeah, we'll see,
year or two is.
I think they're going to say those are our cats. Those are our guys. We're just gonna keep them as franchise guys. All the other guys though on that roster should really be up for play. You know, and if Colorado wants to sniff around that to make this kind of Avs related, you'd have to have some kind of an interest in a Yakov Trenin at $1.7 million.
The thing is, I think it's tough for them to do a lot of this offseason. It's probably next offseason that you see them really get aggressive with a lot of this stuff.
Well, I don't know. You know, that's the thing. I just don't know. They've got two first-round picks. Like, this is just a good time for them to... But with the change at GM, I don't know.
That's... Yeah.
Barry Trotz could decide to
he
go
could just
like
nuclear,
Kyle Davidson in Chicago and just say,
winter. Yeah.
We're giving away all these guys. We're going to get all the assets that we can for as many of these cats as we can. We're just going to, we'll keep Yossi and Forsberg, but we're going to build. We're going to try and do what LA did, which is rebuild quickly enough around so many assets that as Kopitar and Doughty got older, they got to compete in a second window.
Yeah.
I think if I was Barry Trotz, that's what I would be doing. Okay. I would be trying to follow what LA did, and they've got multiple firsts this year, and maybe they give away enough talent that they're like bad next year and have an actual high pick. But I would be trying to do that and try and get it so that by the end of Forsberg and Yossi's careers, they were part of a second potential run.
A lot easier said than done.
Oh, of course.
I do want to go through the rest of the Central here. We'll start at the bottom. Chicago and Arizona, not expecting them to be all that competitive. Do we think they'll at least be fun this year?
I think Arizona will be fun. Okay, and honestly, Chicago with Bedard.
There will be exactly one player that's
right,
fun on Chicago.
That has to be some amount of fun. Then there's fun little storylines. In Chicago, Cole Kutman gets healthy. He had a pretty good, promising start. Does he get another chance up with the big team now that he's going to be healthy for the regular season? I don't know. But Arizona, I think, will be fun. We talk about the magic of Mullet Arena and sort of knowing this is the last season playing in Mullet, I think could bring about some fun, especially home games.
I hope it's fun. Don't think they'll be all that competitive on the bigger picture, but I hope it's fun at least.
Well, because of some of the uncertainty, I could see some of the players that you look to and count on, like the Clayton Keller types, that affecting the uncertainty of the future affecting their regular season performance.
Well, when we talked to Craig last week and we talked about Nick Schmaltz, and he said they've got to balance this.
Yeah.
Because if they move Nick Schmaltz, it's going to piss off Clayton Keller. And that's a guy that you're invested in trying to keep happy.
Yep.
But Nick Schmaltz is also, his salary will be higher than his AAV over the next few years.
When it comes to actual cash
is going up for a team that is still trying to use LTIR contracts to hit the floor.
Yep.
Because cash flow is a problem down there. So, you know, that's watching them walk that tightrope and that balance. You know, I'm excited to see what's next for Matias Michelli.
Sure.
I'm excited to see, you know, does Josh Doan make the team? Does some of the younger kids start to break in and actually be a part of this?
Can Barrett Hayton have another solid season?
Yeah. What's up with
the goaltender of the future?
Should they seriously? We're talking about all these goaltending problems out west. Should they be auctioning off Karel Vemelka right now?
$10 million?
Arizona has a good track record for providing good goaltenders, but maybe their track record and what they do if they return leaves a little to be desired.
Not so good on controlling the return.
Yeah.
Connor Timmins makes them look real bad.
Toronto, if you don't want him.
He's welcome back in Colorado, absolutely. He would be a really fun sixth for
the Avs. You're not even going to use him.
Yeah.
And 1.1 for the next 2 years? Yeah.
At least for the 30 games that he actually plays would be. Okay. Moving up the list, we kind of already talked about Nashville. St. Louis.
What the hell do you do?
You're stuck with Binnington in the net for the next forever.
GM to the Maple Leafs?
You're stuck with a number of aging defensemen that play a game that historically does not age well. Offensive defensemen usually fall off pretty fast when they age out. And then you kind of just have a bunch of guys on your forward core now that O'Reilly and Tarasenko are gone.
Yeah, you got a bunch of like good players because Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas did not take
they didn't become star level. Yeah.
They just repeated, hey, these are good players. These are not great players.
I just, I don't know what they do. If I was them, I'd do anything possible to get out of Binnington's contract and blow it up. But I don't know how they could get to that. So
I think they just feel stuck.
They just feel stuck.
There's too many guys there, and they have too much money committed to bad defensemen.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do. Those three first-round picks, if I'm their GM, I'm considering attaching those three first rounders to move on from Colton Parayko, to move on from Nick Leddy, to move on from. I would probably keep Justin Fultz.
He's the one you could probably actually move, though, is the thing.
Yeah, like, for a real return where you're not including assets to try and get rid of that contract. Yeah. I would try and see what those markets are for those guys, though. Seriously consider them.
Would you be interested in Parayko?
In Colorado? No.
No.
How many years are left on that deal?
Like six or seven.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize it was such a long contract.
That's the thing. Otherwise, yes.
If it was like three or four, totally.
Yeah. Because we saw what he looked like when he wasn't asked to be the man.
Yeah. Yep.
So put him back in that infrastructure and let him do that. I would be very interested. I don't want to pay for the decline.
I don't like that term, but I like Parayko in the immediate.
I would be a lot more interested in trying to poach one of those forwards. Do they want to move on from a Buchnevich?
No, I would kill for Buchnevich.
What do they feel about Brandon Saad?
I would not mind kicking the tires on Saad again.
Those are two guys that I would call about. I'd be curious about Braden Schenn. Does he want to come?
He'd be a fun 2C.
I know he's 31 and he's signed for a long time.
He'd be a fun 2C.
He's still a good guy, and he brings so many of the elements that Kadri brought, without some of the drama,
the red mist level.
Yeah, where you had concerns about Kadri doing something ultra dumb. You know, I would kick the tires and I would ask about Braden Schenn. Just me personally.
It's a bad idea. I mean, even thinking of what became of Barbashev outside of St. Louis for Vegas, and it's interesting what these players could be in a different system. Mm-hmm. I think that they are not being utilized to their full potential. I think they are sitting around as just some guys in the forward group right now in St. Louis. I think they've lost the plot a little bit. I don't trust them as they're currently constructed, and I could see teams capitalizing on them trying to find the plot and maybe needing to move some of these pieces.
Okay. Who knew David Perron would be so important to a team's like
fall apart without?
But also, like, they just got a little old. Like, O'Reilly stopped being able to do that job. You know, Tarasenko stopped being a higher end player. You know, like they just kind of happens.
The slow decline of a hockey team, basically.
Yeah, and they invested too much money in bad defense.
Yep.
Where they can't, because if they were on short-term deals, you could consider buying a guy out here and there. You could use those three first-rounders for St. Louis to aggressively retool.
Yep.
You know, you could go and sign a guy like a Gavrikov in free agency. You could trade for some of these other guys. You know, you could
try and sign Damon Severson this offseason.
Exactly. Yeah. You could try and make a move like that. But instead, they're just stuck because all of those contracts are long-term.
We'll get to Winnipeg and Calgary in a second here. I want to do the bottom of the Pacific as well very quickly. Ducks, Sharks, not expecting a ton out of either of those teams this year.
I would call about Hurdle.
That'd be fun. I don't know that the Sharks are super interested in letting him go. But
I don't think they would be. But I'd call, and I would at least kick the tires.
Got to do your job. If you're not calling, you're not trying. Where are the Canucks? Are they anywhere? Are they? They seem stuck.
They're
going
to have
to
give guys away. They're gonna give. Look, Brock Besser is going to go to Chicago for a second round pick. I don't know which one of those second round picks is going to be. It's going to be one of them. That's how I see that ending, because Chicago is going to end up being a sneaky fun team next year, where they're able to load up on some intriguing forwards and they're able to build.
Yeah,
and they're able to build a decent enough roster where you're like, they're watchable.
I hope they're not.
I mean, it's done, man. They won the Bedard sweepstakes, and that's where this is headed.
I know.
So I think they're going to end up being sneaky watchable, just like Arizona was last year.
Maybe. We'll see.
But yeah, the bottom of the Pacific, who cares?
That's mostly where I'm at with the bottom of the Pacific as well. Just not.
Do they want to trade Troy Terry? I'm open to that. Bring him home.
Whatever team you're watching, you can do it on Fubo TV when it comes to ESPN and all of that good stuff. Check them out at FuboTV.com/DNVR. Over 140 channels, not just sports, but they've got television shows and movies too. News, all the good stuff. You can use that QR code on screen or the link. When you do, you get 10% off your first 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. Go check it out. It comes with a 1,000-hour DVR that works for you, so you can jump right in, record whatever you want while you go out to dinner, come back and watch it on replay, fast forward through all the commercials, get all the good stuff with Fubo. It's right on your television as well. We all have smart TVs these days, basically. So you get the app, you turn your TV on, Fubo's on, you're watching TV. You don't have to jump through any hoops. It's not anything complicated. Super easy stuff to do. Go check it out. Go get it today at FuboTV.com/DNVR. And then when you're watching Fubo on your couch, crack open a Breck Brew, the official beer of DNVR. You can get 8 different kinds on tap down here at the bar. You can find it everywhere in the United States. Check your local liquor store or the Breck Beer Locator online at BreckBrew.com. You can also check out their dope merch on the Breck Brew's website. So go in there, get the good stuff from Breck Brew. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. I think two teams in very different places when you talk about Winnipeg and you talk about Calgary. I want to start with Calgary. On paper, Calgary's supposed to be a good hockey team. They should be a playoff team at least.
Easily.
Sutter's gone. Their front office is getting reorganized.
They need a new head coach.
They got to find one. They're fully committed to Nazem Kadri. They have a bunch of other pieces that, you know, obviously the Huberto and Uyghur stuff did not work that well this year. You're hoping a lot of that is some clashing with Sutter. Do they need to do major surgery here, or is this a run it back and expect to get better out of these guys?
In some ways, I don't think they can do major surgery. I think their hands are a little bit tied to some of these contracts, but I am expecting Huberto to have a different season from what he had. This was a bit of an anomaly in my eyes, and I hope that it is to some degree. I mean, it is Calgary after all. I'm not putting too much into that, but I do think they are limited in what they're even able to do, but I do think they're going to be significantly better than they were this last season. They had health on their side, which we've talked about, but I think that these pieces are still good pieces. And I'll take a minute to think about if they could make a change where I think it would be best for them. But I think that there is something to be said for playing under a new coach, also benefiting them, even just in the immediate, for what it means in long term, because I think we've watched coaches come in anew and kind of inspire something in the players. Yeah. So who's to say what looks like in year two of whatever this new coach ends up being? But if it is someone like a Mitch Love who's promoted from within the organization, it's interesting because I'm sure it doesn't actually provide so much of a shakeup in terms of what they need to do in execution. I think the systems will be very similar and familiar. But I do think just having a new coach at the helm will make somewhat of a difference, and they are going to be a playoff contending team. Now, I'm not going to get ahead of myself and suggest that they're a cup contending team next year, but they absolutely belong in the playoffs in my eyes.
AJ, do you believe in Jacob Markstrom back there?
I think he's better than he was last year.
But how much was better is the question.
Yeah. Is he as good as what we saw 2 years ago? I don't think so. But I think it's fair to ask him to be somewhere in between. The thing with Calgary is they're in this really weird position where they have a bunch of really good forward prospects who are, like, there.
Waiting to get their chance at the bit, basically, yeah.
You have Matt Phillips. You have Jacob Pelletier. You have Coronado. You have Connor Zeri. Like, you've got guys that are ready to go. You watched Walker Duehr this year actually be a pretty decent role player for them. We've watched over the last couple of years, they have developed Andrew Mangiapane and Dylan Dubé from into their bottom six
real players,
into guys that have actually been pretty important and pretty good for them. But you have two guys in particular that Colorado should be keeping a very close eye on, because Calgary's already capped out.
Yep.
And they have a couple of expiring contracts. They've got to figure some of this out. They don't, like, have to do anything drastic, but you have Mikael Backlund and Elias Lindholm
with
one year left on their deal. Lindholm is the better player. He's the more desirable asset. He's the younger one. They're both in their 30s. Mm-hmm. So you're probably not talking about a long-term solution for Colorado at 2C.
Is that...
Mikhail Backlund is probably the easier one to get. He's 34. You would have... He's spent most of his career in Calgary taking hard minutes.
These are more trade deadline deals, though, right? Like, if Calgary's out of it...
So I think Lindholm is.
Okay.
That said, if you're St. Louis and you offered two first-round picks for Elias hard to Lindholm say no, straight up, yeah. Calgary could just be like, we should consider
one
this.
1 year for of Lindholm or a super easy reload for us.
Yeah, because there's a very real possibility they're not going to be able to keep those guys. Backlund's next deal will probably be quite a bit lower than the just under $6 million that he's getting paid right now. But... if only because he's 34. But that's where you look at those two guys and you say, guys that are down the middle, that can play center, that can take hard minutes, but also have the two-way ability to give you 50 plus points.
A proper defensive 2C.
Yeah, but good enough offensively to be an impact guy.
Right.
And you start to roster bait a little bit, and you throw in Valanciunas next to one of those guys, and you're like,
"This is the line that's no fun to play against for teams."
This is gonna be quality stuff here, but they're gonna be good enough offensively that they're not gonna be just a black hole.
Yeah,
and so that's where I think that's where I would start if I'm Colorado. I would probably start my offseason phone call to Calgary to Craig Conroy now and just say, "Hey, how open are you guys to moving one of these guys right now?" You could definitely, because Calgary's going to want to integrate some of these guys, some of these younger kids into their lineup at some point. So if they don't want that guy down the middle, you know, a guy like Tyler Toffoli, who's always been a good player, but has always been a bad fit in Colorado because of the up-tempo.
Yeah.
The up-tempo way that they want to play is not great for Toffoli, who's never been a very good skater. You're not interested. You're not going to be able to get Andrew Mangiapane out of there. You're not interested in four more years of Blake Coleman.
I don't even know if I'm that interested in Backlund. It'd be Lindholm or nothing for me.
I'm interested in Lindholm. I think you make a great point though about forward depth they have that I think is ready to make the leap now. Peltier,
Mitch Love isn't the only reason the Wranglers are so good.
No, and this is all in my bid to make the Eagles a little bit better. So if Peltier wants to go up to the big leagues full time, I'm cool with it. No, but they do have some players that are ready to graduate. Yeah. They've done all they can at the American League level, and that's something really for Calgary to consider, that they have some options there that will be more cap friendly and can help if they are able then to offload some of what's in the forward group presently to save a little bit of space. I think it would benefit them, and it would benefit other teams. Certainly it would be a hard decision to part with someone like Lindholm. I think the return has to be very worthwhile.
They are like capped right now. Mm-hmm. And that's where if you move Backlund, who again, I'm saying him because he's the lesser of the two. He's also the more expensive money wise. So maybe they eat $1 million to help Colorado out, but they, you know, the Avs move their first round pick this year for him.
Well, I think Calgary could go the other way as well. And I understand there are money conversations that you have to have, but you look at what the Avs did for success. The guy they didn't want to move that they moved on from, Justin Barron. Could Calgary look to move some of those prospects out?
Well, the hard part there is that you're taking guys who are really cheap and moving them for a guy who would be more expensive.
I understand they need to move money out as well.
They don't have the money to do that right now. But that's why
in the NHL, if you want to find money, you can find money.
Right, but I'm saying it's easier to make one move than two. And if they were to put a Peltier and a Matt Phillips or, you know, Connor Zeri, Matt Coronato, one of these guys, if they were to package two of them up for a defenseman, or, you know, I don't even know what they would want, to be honest with you.
Again, it's a deadline conversation.
They're deep enough at forward, and they're good enough on defense. There was really no reason. You look at that roster, and you're going, how the hell did this team miss the postseason?
Yep.
There's no really obvious hole there.
Other than just underperformance.
Exactly. It's underperformance, because Mackenzie Weegar should be a dude. Jonathan Huberdeau should have been a dude. And these guys were very mediocre in their first year in Calgary, and that's your problem, is you're paying top money to top players who just didn't give you that performance. That's why the coach is gone.
Yep.
But they are capped out for right now, and they have a ton of expiring deals next season. Moving some money out, I think if, for my money, if they were to try and move some of the kids together, it's the dumbest thing they can do.
Because if with the expiring contracts in the next year, they need longer term options that and aren't just a 1 year.
If you have four of these guys come in on ELCs next year, or the second, you know, a 1 year 800K deal or whatever, you have four of these guys replacing them. You can choose to spend money on which guys you prioritize re-signing and still stay competitive at forward.
Yeah, fair
and
enough.
And so moving out, and again, I think Lindholm is a deadline deal. And I think Backlund is the guy you could talk them into
this offseason, yeah.
Because he's 34. They're not nobody's looking to give him a long-term deal.
Yeah.
You could give him maybe a multi-year extension, you know, a 2 or 3 year deal at the end of it, depending on how well he plays, yeah, where he goes.
Yeah.
But you're not doing it right away. If you get Elias Lindholm, you're going to try and keep him.
Yep.
If you get Backlund, he could be a 1 year. We're just trying to figure this out. And it is Mikhail Backlund for Colorado's first round pick. That's it. Enough. I don't think so, but I don't think it should be a significantly more on top of it. I don't think it's a major. It's not Jean-Luc Foudy. It's not Oscar Olausson. It's not Sean Behrens.
It'll be interesting to see how those markets shape up. I do want to move on to Winnipeg, though, a team we've talked about a lot because they're both this offseason and next offseason could reshape a lot of the league, depending on what they want to do with Connor Hellebuck, Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele. I don't really have a ton more to say that we haven't already said about Winnipeg. We're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop with this team, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have to make decisions.
Yep.
Like they are in the position where they are well built enough that they can get to where they were. They can get back to the wild card playoffs.
Yeah.
They can get back into the postseason. Are they going to win a round? They could win a round. It would take everybody just playing better. It would take a little bit of better health. You know, having Cole Perfetti would be nice. But it's the same conversation with Nashville. To what end? Because if they go out and they do that, they decide that, and then Connor Hellebuck, Pierre-Luc Dubois, and Mark Scheifele all leave in free agency. You've lost a 1C, a 2C, and a 1G.
It's almost zero G at that point.
You're talking about the three of the four most valuable positions in all of hockey.
Yep.
First and second line centers and a starting goaltender and a Vezina caliber goaltender. The only thing you're missing is a front line defenseman that is walking on you at that point.
Which will be Norrissey in a couple of years.
Yeah, he's signed for a long time, so you're fine. But
until he demands a trade.
Well, and
everyone is gone. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, his trade, I mean, he's signed for too long. And
I know.
He's going to have to eat a couple of bad years before he's going to get allowed to do that. But yeah, totally. You can see where this is ending. Yes. That's the thing with Winnipeg. They need to be bold. Kevin Cheveldayoff has been very calculating. I'm going to nibble around the edges.
Bold is certainly not the word you'd use to describe.
He needs to take big bites this offseason. There needs to be, for me, I've said this before, but if I'm him, I'm calling Buffalo, and I am offering Connor Hellebuck to Buffalo for Devon Levi to try and get the next potential stud at goalie.
Just run it back with Levi.
And then, maybe J.J. Paterka or a Quinn or a Krebs, you know, somebody else. To come back, because I'm not giving away Hellebuck just for this kid goaltender.
Krebs played his junior hockey there.
Yeah.
We know Winnipeg looks for guys that want reasons to be in Winnipeg.
And they're going to need to replenish forwards when Scheifele and Dubois leave. So, you know, the Dubois thing, you're gonna try and I think they should just try and move him for whatever they can get. Everybody understands kind of the score there that Dubois it sure feels like Dubois
it's
walking
Montreal
to Montreal
for sure. Yeah.
But again, so what?
Yeah.
you get a year of Dubois. It's the same as getting the Backlund or the Lindholm conversations.
Well,
no,
if you're
getting a year out of that guy, and then you're probably, from a Colorado perspective, you're probably losing him.
Well, if you
upgrade your 2C that much, you're in a great position to win another Stanley Cup, and that's the point.
From a Colorado perspective, it gives Winnipeg less leverage in that trade. If everybody knows he's going to Montreal and this is just a rental, it's going to drive his cost down a little bit.
Sure, and it should still get them a first-round pick.
For sure. Because if they were I'm not saying it's cheap.
If they were to trade him in the deadline, they're getting a first-round pick, and they're getting a pretty good prospect.
Yep.
You know, and the difference is that you're doing it today.
It's true.
They should do the same thing for Mark Scheifele. Because between Cole Perfetti, between Brad Lambert, I guess if you really want the other geeky brother, you know, he played for the Ice. He's drafted by Arizona.
Yeah.
It's Rutger McGroarty. That was
the
Winnipeg
teams all blur together.
Sometimes, yeah. No, it was Rutger McGroarty that I forgot that he was the other first round pick that the Jets had. And between a guy that they have not promoted in Ville Heinola, there's young guys on that roster where you can be like, hey, start to integrate more of the youth into this.
Clear the path. Yeah.
Exactly. And then when Blake Wheeler's contract ends next year, when Nino Niederreiter's contract ends next year, you lose $12 million off of your books at forward. Brendan Dillon and Dylan DeMello are guys that I think could fetch mid-round picks that they could either flip for players like they did with Niederreiter, players who are signed, who don't have trade protection, that they don't have to convince to come play in Winnipeg and say, you're already under contract. Ha ha, gotcha, sucker. Or you sign guys in free agency. You use that money. There's just a lot of different ways they could go about it. And I think if they were smart and they were aggressive, they could get big returns for Scheifele, Dubois, Hellebuyck, and they could get reasonable returns for guys like Brendan Dillon and Dylan DeMello.
They just have to be willing to let this era end.
And if they were willing to eat $1 million, Brendan Dillon next to Josh Manson would be a really mean third pairing.
I'd rather have DeMello, personally.
Well, he's right-handed, and that's why I'm going that way. I would, too. DeMello's better. And I would really like it if Brendan Dillon landed in Colorado because Evan hates him, and I don't know why. And I just think that would be very funny after...
To go from Zadorov
exactly,
to Dillon.
Exactly. To go from Zadorov and end up with Brendan Dillon over there. Just be like, nah, the anti-Evan agenda.
Does he love Zadorov?
He loves
Zadorov.
I've gotten that impression. I just haven't heard him say it expressly. Okay.
Yeah. With Zadorov free agent next summer, he's already started being like, bring him back.
Bring him back.
Okay, we do have to wrap up the show very quickly. Edmonton's going to Edmonton.
They've got to give somebody
away.
They
have to shed cap.
They've got $6 million to spend. They've got a bottom six that needs to be rebuilt. And Evan Bouchard is going to get a $4 million bridge deal.
Plus deal, yep.
So they need to give guys away. Colorado should call about Warren Fogle. He makes $2.75. It's for a year. He fits their style. He would be a very good third-line player for them. Just like he was a very good third line player in Carolina. That's who he is. It's cheap. 2.75 just isn't very much. And a mid round pick should do it because they're going to have to give him away. Now, if they could give him away for Sampo Ranta,
I'd do it.
You would prefer something like that than another draft pick. But I don't know that Sampo Ranta would be enough there.
I doubt it would be, but you never know.
I'm just saying, you know, more of the Jack Johnson for Andreas Englund kind of swap where
I understand.
If you could
player for player.
If there's
thing,
a guy they like that you'd be comfortable with there, then do it. But not you don't want it to be like a Logan O'Connor and Alex Newell.
No,
like
not
one of those types of guys. Those
not are, a roster player.
Yeah, those are because you're trying to add to that. Yep. You're not trying to replace them.
The Avs prospect pool is in such a weird place where there is such a stark difference between an Oscar Lausen and a Sampo Ranta. That I don't think Ranta moves the needle because I'm not sure that he would be viewed as an NHL roster player at the moment. I don't even know if I could say that for Oscar Lausen, but the ceiling is higher.
So
I could see them saying, no, we don't want a Ranta type. We want a Lausen. But I can't see Colorado being comfortable parting with that But I think they'd have to, if we're looking at like a Warren Fogle type, look more at an Oscar Olausson type. And I don't know that I'd feel comfortable with that.
This is where not having mid-round picks really hurts you. And you could offer an alternative deal. You could say, what about Warren Fogle for Josh Manson?
That's tough, too. But the health obviously is such a concern. It's like, if I knew...
It's a fair point.
Manson would be more or less healthy, and this isn't some lingering thing that's going to be a problem. No way.
Yeah.
But...
Av's defense just feels too thin, I think.
If you wanted to balance that money, you could say Brett Kulak and Warren Fogle for Josh Manson, and then... Now calm I really down. Feel like I'm winning over
calm
here.
Calm down. Yeah. If GMs just did whatever you wanted, you'd be a great GM, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. If I could just get them drunk and get them to agree to things.
So why do you hate Kyler Yamamoto again?
So Yamamoto, I think, is a really good... That's another guy that they're going to have to strongly consider moving on from. He makes $3 million, and can he stay healthy? Is he good enough? They're all fair questions about his future.
I don't see his fit in Colorado specifically, but I see them moving on from him and another team benefiting from this.
This is where, with no Landy next year, you have Lehkonen, McKinnon, Rantanen, Nichushkin, ?
Yeah.
So if you put Yamamoto on one of those wings in your top
six. Let him fly with some talent, maybe. Yeah.
You still need to solve your 2C thing. We know that this has to get solved. I mean,
you could.
But you don't feel terrible if a Lehkonen or an Achushkin is on the other side.
And you throw a.
And you get
Lindholm or an O'Reilly center.
Exactly.
In between
you get
them.
A defensively sound.
Yeah, I wouldn't
center.
Hate that. I wouldn't hate
Yamamoto
that.
On that side makes way more sense. My interest in that goes way, way, way up. My concern is. If it doesn't work, you end up with an Alex Newhook, Kyler Yamamoto on your third line getting chewed up.
It's a liability.
Seattle coming at you, you know, with a heavy forecheck where those two guys are like, please, sir, don't do this to me. And that's my concern is if it doesn't work, there's no backup plan.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, just get a third line guy in Warren Fogle.
Go solve your 2C and you deal with it.
Yeah, you can figure out the rest of this like. You can figure out a wing along the way. That's where the Jonathan Drouin thing comes in, you know, where you're like, oh, well, if we get that guy for a million, you know, that's where the Alex Galchenyuk dream lives on.
Let's be real. It's easier to find a winger. It's something you can do with the deadline a little bit easier.
Which I think they will need to do, but the 2C obviously being the priority.
It's the number one thing that you want to figure out, but you also do look at some of these teams. We kind of glossed over Vancouver, but... Vancouver's going to have to give guys away. Brock Besser, Connor Garland. Obviously, Connor Garland isn't an option for the Avs with how much we know Nathan McKinnon hates him. And it goes well beyond the helmet tossing
back to
thing.
Their days at St. Mary's from
That's when
what it
Yanni,
sounds like.
When Yanni Gourde came up as like, ooh, could he fit in Colorado? I think they hate him, at least presently. This could be something that maybe they get over if they're playing alongside him. But
is that I hate playing against him, or is it I hate him?
It felt personal, especially between him and Byram. It felt like something very personal was born from that, that I'd be curious to see.
I wonder what that's about.
I tried to ask him, didn't get a clear answer. Honestly, I think it's the intensity of the series. I don't think there's this history there.
This is one where it's like, is this a like Keegan Kolesar is not allowed in the locker room? Like, you know, like Connor Garland's not allowed. They vetoed Max Domi. Like the room was like, no.
Which is an interesting thing for Dallas, actually. Sorry, I'm all over the place right now.
No, totally.
Like, what's Dallas going to do about Max Domi? But
let him go. They can't.
Well, so where does he go?
Chicago.
Everyone that was just complaining about... missing on Max Domi, are we really disappointed?
I'm not.
I don't think we can
we found
be.
Out that the locker room said no, you're just kind of like, look, those guys know best.
If they said no, then they said no.
Yeah.
There's no, and you're losing a guy who's not even staying where he went.
Right. Yeah. Like, why would you mess up your long-term locker room for 20 games of a dude? Like, it's
well,
not
and,
worth
and
it.
Like, you probably don't mess it up long-term, but it's also like, you've built such a good culture. Why would you tinker with it with a guy that you know is going to be a toxic element?
Yep.
There's no, there were just, that upside just wasn't like, okay, so maybe you get to the second round.
Long story short, the Avs should be looking to pick the bones wherever they can.
Yeah. They need to kind of a little vulture mentality where they look at, you know, how did they get Devon Toews? They saw a cap strap team that was going to have to move on from a good player.
Yep.
a team that was going to have to give. This is the same thing why I keep going back to Sharon Govich in New Jersey.
And Hurdle.
Who was a healthy scratch at the end of the year, who's an RFA, and who is a guy that's probably going to be underpaid on his next contract versus what he should produce if he gets put into a good situation. Like, those are the guys. That is the archetype that they should be looking for. You look at Edmonton and you say Warren Fogle's in his prime. He signed for a cheap number. He can do a job that we need somebody to do and fit in with us stylistically. And the team that has him has to shed money somehow. They've got to do something. And instead of we're going to trade RNH, giving Warren Fogle away for a mid-round pick is much safer, which is what GMs do. So they need to be vultures and they need to be very strategic. There's a lot of teams out west that are up against it, which is where the Landy money comes in very handy for this year, is that they can splash a little bit of cash where they need to on expiring contracts.
Do one-year things.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what's fun about this conversation is we've only talked about picking from the carcasses in the west without even beginning to talk about the east. There is a lot of room for the Avs to be far more aggressive in this offseason. And I anticipate it.
When in bringing up the East, one of the other considerations is how many assets all those teams at the top paid
all moved
at
west.
The trade deadline, where they're rentals. they're going to be looking to replenish some assets in some ways, like a first round pick, for example.
Yeah,
where if there are openings there, you know, can the Avs find a deal with New Jersey where they send a first round pick for Sharon Govich and another guy, and you end up with, you know, getting a depth defenseman or something else. Like,
well, I think
that's where they need to get creative.
At the teams on the fringes there too. Like, hey, Washington has to make some decisions about where their future is headed. I think they probably won't blow it up because of Ovi, but
right. But we also saw they weren't afraid at the deadline. They weren't afraid to make a hard decision when they had to.
Yep.
That's why their whole defense that was expiring either got friggin' traded or re-signed.
Yep.
They made decisions. They talked to the guys and said, who wants to be here? Who's willing to stay at a number that we're comfortable with. And that's how my Nick Jensen dream died.
It's the way it goes. All right, we're going to get out of here for today. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us and dealing with our sound issues at the start. tomorrow, it's Megan and Jesse. So I'm sure I think you guys are talking some Leaf stuff, right? That's what it sounds like.
Dave McCarthy, he's one of the NHL correspondents for Toronto, come on and talk with us about what's going on over there.
There you go.
We've got Chris Peters will come on Friday. He's going to be on the show Friday to talk NHL draft with us.
Fun.
We're going to start getting into specific names for the Avs at 27.
Yep.
We're going to use the next 5 weeks to start to hone in on guys that you should start to love. Just for them to trade the pick the morning of the draft. Yep.
Can they trade it like 3 weeks out so he can just be done?
No, they're going to do it.
It never works that way.
Morning of, my man.
They traded it while I was in the airport last year. So anyway, we appreciate all y'all hanging out, and we will talk to you on the next one.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy.
Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.